Good morning, brothers and sisters. We're thankful to God for allowing us to gather here this morning to join together in worship. We extend a warm welcome to all our brothers and sisters, also to any visitors and guests, including those who have joined us via the live stream. We pray that we may be encouraged and strengthened in faith by the preaching of the gospel. May God be glorified by our worship this morning. Consistory has the following announcements. As elders and deacons, Consistory hope to meet tomorrow evening, the Lord willing, at 7:30 p.m. in the Consistory room. An attestation has been requested to the Free Reformed Church of Byford by our brother Clayton Visser. We wish our brother the Lord's blessing as he takes up his place in his new congregation. The congregation is hereby informed that Brother Rahul Vyas and Sister Rosalie van der Laan from the Free Reformed Church of Kelmscott have indicated their intention to enter into the marriage state according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and to complete it to his glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward before the 10th of November, the ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, on Saturday the 20th of November at 12 noon in the Free Reformed Church of Mount Nasura with Reverend D. Poppy officiating. The following brothers and sisters have requested to publicly profess their faith and so receive admission to the Lord's Supper. Joel Boone, Marissa DeSnoo, Nikki Hall, Thomas Hogedyke, Rowan Sibham, Julian Spiker, Hayley Wagoner and Abby Wilstra. Consistory, having considered and examined their motives as well as their knowledge of Scripture and the confessions, resolve with thankfulness to the Lord to grant these requests. If no lawful objections are brought forward before the 10th of November, the profession of faith will take place during the morning service of Sunday the 21st of November in the Lumen Christi College in Gosnells. This morning, as well as this afternoon, we may welcome to the pulpit our own minister, Reverend D. Poppy. And before we commence this service, let us sing together Psalm 135, verse 10.
Please rise and lift up your hearts to the Lord. As God's people, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's now sing a song of praise to our God. We're going to sing from Psalm 18, verses 1 and 6. In Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, the Lord tells his people, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And it's a chapter earlier back in Deuteronomy 5 that the Lord teaches us how we are to put that love into practice. Hear the law of God. "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and who keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant or his female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." Let's now sing to God. We're going to sing, making confession of our sins, and also speaking of the singing of the Lord's grace towards us, Psalm 25, the verses 5 and 6.
Thank you.
Let's now pray to God and let's ask God for his blessing. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we come into your presence this morning, Lord, to tell you that we love you. You are the Almighty God who's seated on the throne in heaven. We just sang of you in Psalm 18, that you're a God who is power and authority, and you use that power to protect us and to keep us safe. Father, we rejoice that you are our fortress. You're a rock and a tower to us. You're a shield and a helper for us. You're a stronghold, and you will rescue us. Father, sometimes it happens that we face attack. Sometimes we're attacked by other people. Sometimes we're attacked even by people who are close to us. Sometimes it happens that there's other people around us, maybe people at work or maybe others in society. At the very least, Lord, we often face spiritual attack from the forces of darkness. And it's in the midst of that we need to stand our ground. We need to stand firm. And we confess, Lord, that we can't do that in our own strength. But we look to you because you are the one who loves us. You are the one who guides and who protects us, who keeps us safe, and who is a refuge for us. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you that we can go to you and that we can be secure in your loving protection. Thank you for the rich promises that you've extended to us in the covenant, that you will be a father to us, and that you will help us and look after us. Dear Lord in heaven, we are grateful that you teach us how to live in a relationship with you of humble dependence. We ask that you would bless us this morning as we open your word, that we may understand what a great God you are and how much help you offer to us, that we may put our hope in you and that we may receive your blessing in our lives. Please strengthen us with your word, Lord, and please draw us into intimate relationship together with you. And then, Father, we also want to come to you this morning to confess our sins to you. We just heard that you call us to love you with our whole heart, soul, and mind. And Lord, when we look back at this past week, that many times we haven't done that. We haven't honored you as we should. We haven't depended upon you like we ought to. Many times we do things in our own strength. And we seek to accomplish things by our own power. And we're very dishonoring towards you in the way that we relate to you. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for not upholding your name. We ask, Lord, that you would please be merciful to us for not worshiping you in the way that you command. Please show your kindness to us, Father, and show us mercy for Jesus' sake. We've also sinned against each other. There have been many sins that we've committed against other people this past week. We stand before you with empty hands. We confess these sins. We ask that again, for Jesus' sake, that you would wash us clean. What a great Savior we have, Lord. What a great gift you've given us in sending your Son. Please look on us in mercy for his sake, and please accept us. Please grant us joy in your presence now, Father, and please accept the worship that we offer you. We pray that you would do these things for Christ's sake. Amen. So this morning, brothers and sisters, I may preach God's word to you as we find that in Psalm 5. Psalm 5, the theme for the psalm is really depending upon God for help when we are attacked by others. Another psalm where David speaks about that is Psalm 64. So just to give a bit more color, we're going to read together first from that psalm, from Psalm 64. So Psalm 64, if you want to follow along, you can find it on page 567 of your guest Bible. Hear the word of God. To the choir master, a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from the dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the throng of evildoers, who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear. They hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking, who can see them? They search out injustice, saying, we have accomplished a diligent search, for the inward mind and heart of a man are deep. But God shoots his arrow at them. They are wounded suddenly. They are brought to ruin with their own tongues turned against them. All who see them will wag their heads. Then all mankind fears. They tell of what God has brought about and the wonder he has done. Let the righteous one rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright exult in heart. So far. Let's sing together of the song I'm going to preach on. We're going to sing from Psalm 5, and we're going to sing the verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. The text of the sermon this morning is taken from Psalm 5. You can find that on page 529 of your guest Bible. So Psalm 5, to the choir master for the flutes, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy, and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. So far the text, and after the proclamation of God's word, we're going to sing together again from the same psalm, from Psalm 5, the verses 5 through 9. Dear brothers and sisters, congregation loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Psalms, the Lord teaches us how to deal with all sorts of different situations in life. And we heard from Psalm 1 that there is two ways you can live. Either you can live in fear of the Lord, you rest under his blessing, or you walk among the counsel of the wicked, and then you will come to destruction. And then the Lord works it out in the rest of the Psalms, and he teaches us, what does it really mean to fear the Lord? What does it look like in normal life to have honor and respect for God, to trust him, and to depend upon him in faith? Well, here in Psalm 5, the Lord teaches us what it looks like when other people attack you. And sometimes it happens to us that we're attacked by different people. When that happens, then oftentimes it's a really difficult situation for us to deal with. And the Lord says, he says, there's a way to do it by faith. There's a way to respond in such a way that shows that you fear me, that you honor me, that you trust me, that you have me as your God. Now, David is in the situation here in Psalm 5 in which he's being attacked by some really nasty people. They do a lot of bad stuff. They want to destroy David, and they really wouldn't mind if he were killed. And the worst of it is that they cover it over with lies and deceit. No one ever totally understands their intentions, because it's always smoothed over and it's always covered over, and you can never really get to the heart of it. Well, maybe I could ask you, brothers and sisters, have you ever had it? Someone who manipulates you? Or takes advantage of you, or just who attacks you, and then who's deceptive about it? They cover it over, they lie about it, they make it seem as if it's your problem and not really their issue. You know, even though you haven't done anything wrong, immediately you're on the defensive. Or maybe sometimes it happens that people even take it further, that they're explicit in their intentions of going after you and destroying you. Well, how do you handle that? You know, we live in a culture these days which is increasingly rejecting Christianity. There's many people who don't know the Lord, and they don't love the Lord, and they don't love the righteous commands of God, and they're quite happy to attack God's people. They want to silence who the Lord is and what the Lord says. They'll attack Christians in order to make that happen. Well, how do you respond? How do you deal with that? This is something that often happens to God's people. It's one of the biggest themes of the Psalter. And then when it's attacked, when you're attacked, and when that's combined with lies and with deception, then that's often one of the most difficult things to deal with. And so there's a bunch of psalms in the Psalter that also deal with that explicitly. Psalm 5, also Psalm 55, or Psalm 64, or Psalm 109. Well, our Father teaches us here how to respond. I've summarized God's word with you under this theme: the Lord protects his children when they're attacked by deceitful men. We're going to see in the first place the nature of the attack, and then secondly, the help of our God. So in the first verse here in Psalm 5, David cries out to the Lord for help. And it's in verse 4 that he gives the first hint as to why he needs help. He does that by reflecting on the character of God. He says in verse 4, "For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors bloodthirsty and deceitful man." So what David does here is he reminds God of his own character. He says, "Lord, you're not a God who lives with wicked people." He says, "You don't delight in wickedness. Evil people, they can't live with you." And then he highlights the holiness of God. He says that those who are arrogant or deceitful or bloodthirsty are abhorred by God. They can't even come into his presence. Well, David's not just making a passing comment about the holiness of God. There's a very specific reason for saying these things, and he talks about that in verse 8. He talks about these people who are his enemies. And in verse 9, he tells that how they've been attacking him. He says, "There is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction." He's been attacked by these people. And the worst part, he says, you can't trust anything they say. There's no truth in their mouth. They have no scruples about lying, or gossiping, or slandering me, or twisting the truth. In verse 9, he uses this really graphic image to describe what these people are really like. He says that their mouth is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Well, if you think of an open grave, you have this grave where you have a corpse lying in the bottom. Maybe it's half decomposed. Maybe it's a skeleton. You have the stench of death that comes out of this open grave. And now David applies that to a person's throat. He said these people's mouths are like that. There's this stench of death that comes out of their mouths. Whatever they say, it's lies and it's deceit and it's slander. And they're trying to take me down by all these lies. We learn from verse 5 and 6, these are boastful, bloodthirsty, deceitful men. They're proud and arrogant. Probably they're pretty powerful people. And they're killers. Now, they wouldn't mind if David died. They're bloodthirsty. They want him dead. And they use deceit in order to make it happen. We just read together from Psalm 64. In Psalm 64, David, he fills out the picture a little bit more. He tells us what it was like for him on a bunch of other occasions. He talks about these evil people who wet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear. These wicked people encourage each other in their plans, and they go and they take down David, despite the fact that he hasn't done any of the things that they accuse him of. Well, how do you respond to that? You know, sometimes that happens to us, brothers and sisters. Sometimes people attack us and they say things about us, but it's not true. The core issue isn't the truth. That's not reality. They twist the truth and they deceive and they slander. You know, when that kind of thing happens, then you have your back up against the wall. How do you defend yourself against slander? don't know if you read the paper in Tasmania. Reverend Bradenhoff, he had this discussion in the local newspaper in Launceston. The church in Tasmania was accused, in Launceston there, was accused of being in favor of conversion therapy. Well, conversion therapy in the past has been associated with some pretty terrible things that people do to others. And, you know, Reverend Bradenhoff, he gets attacked of this. Their church gets attacked of this. And so what does he say? He says, we are in favor of conversion. The greatest hope we have is that people would believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they would be saved from their sins, that they would believe the Lord. But we're not in favor of those practices, some of those really terrible practices that happen to different people. But the way the matter is reported is that it's not honest. And so the church gets a bad rap. You have your back up against the wall and trying to defend yourself. Well, sometimes that happens to you personally, brothers and sisters. Sometimes people say or do things that are simply not honest. They're not being truthful in the accusations that they make against you. And so what do? How do you handle it? It's really striking here in this psalm. David doesn't try to defend himself. We don't read one word about how he stands up to defend his integrity. He simply doesn't do it. Well, in verse 1, he shows us that he cries out to the Lord for help and for protection. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. Lord, you are the King. You are my God. You are the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letters. You are Yahweh, the covenant God who's made promises to me. You promised to be a father to me and to care and protect me. You've promised that I'm going to have a son who sits on the throne for all time. And so I'm asking you to fulfill those promises. I'm asking you to be my King, to show your power in my life, to be my God, and to protect me and to preserve me. It's really quite interesting. In verse 3, he mentions that two times he prays to God in the morning. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. David's saying, my approach to this is that the first thing in the morning that I do is I get up and I pray. And I say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't make it happen. I can't change it by myself. But you are my God. And I trust you. And so I'm asking you to work it out. And I'm going to watch to see what happens. We're told, brothers and sisters, that the solution to these kind of attacks is to go to God in prayer. And to ask your Heavenly Father that He may protect you, that He may keep you safe. Well, David, he knows that the Lord will help him. Verse 3, he said, in the morning you hear my voice. He says again, in the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. Lord, you know me and you love me. You're going to act on my behalf. That same attitude of confident reliance is expressed in the last verse of the psalm. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. David says to God here, he says, Lord, he says, I'm going to take refuge in you. I'm going to trust you to protect me. That's the place to go, brothers and sisters. When you go to the Lord, then He is a protection. He is a shield. He is a refuge for His people. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The righteous run to it, and they are safe. Your Father will help you when you look to Him, when you go to Him, when you rely upon Him. David says in verse 11, what a wonderful thing it is to trust in the Lord. He He says that those who take refuge in the Lord can rejoice and they can sing for joy. What incredible blessing. You can have joy in your heart. You're being attacked by other people. You're being slandered by others. They want to take you down. They're lying. They're deceiving other people. And David says, you can be at peace. You can have rest because the Lord is your God. You can even rejoice. You can have this joy in your heart because you can be sure in his care and protection for you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with your favor as with a shield. But what an incredible attitude to have, brothers and sisters, in the midst of attack. He's not defensive. He's not angry. He's not lashing out at other people, trying to get even with them. He has this quiet assurance of the care of his Heavenly Father. That doesn't mean it's easy. Now, he is troubled. He cries out to God. He pleads with God for his help. He needs God to carry him because he can't do it by himself. So he has this anguish in his heart. But in the midst of the anguish, he knows where to go. He goes to his father and he leaves it with his father. And he trusts his God to care for him. Do you also do that yourself, brothers and sisters? If you think back to the times where you've been attacked in life, where people have been unjust in the things that they've said and the way that they've handled things, the way they treated you, have you gone to your Heavenly Father? Do you have faithful assurance in his loving care for you? And for Jesus' sake, he will help you. He won't let those who act maliciously to carry on, to get away with what they do. And one day he will hold them to account. And he will exercise his justice in their lives. In the end, they will not succeed. Those who look to him in faith, they will be preserved. Now, the implication here is that what God's saying is that you don't take it into your own hands. The implication is that you don't attack other people when they attack you. If one of your family members, someone in the church, someone at work, if they go after you, they're selfish, if they manipulate you, they don't respond in kind. You don't attack them as they have attacked you. You know, if they hate you, if they're selfish in their dealings with you, if they slander you, you don't have to try to make them stop it. You don't have to try to make them change. You don't have to go after them. You don't even have to stand up for the truth and make sure that everybody around you knows the truth of the situation. Instead, God says, what you do is you come to me. You rely upon me. You ask me to be your father. You ask me to protect you. You ask me to do it for you. I am the Lord. I am the King. I am God. I have the power. And it's when you give it over to me that you can have that peace in your heart. That you can have the quiet assurance that I will work it out for you. That I'll take care of you. Well, David, he has this faith. In verse 7, he says, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lord, it's because of your mercy. It's through the abundance of your steadfast love that I'm going to endure, that I'm going to enter your house. But David's not saying that he's some kind of super believer. He's not saying that he has this extra special strength inside of himself that makes him different from everybody else, that he can resist this and he can handle it through to the end. No, he's saying that he trusts in God. And it's only because of the steadfast love of God that he's able to be preserved through to the end. He gets back to that in verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. He's saying, God, I can't do this in my own strength. I fail. But I'm asking you that you would lead me in your righteousness. You would lead me in the right way. Help me to do what's right in this situation. Make your way straight before me. Well, how often, brothers and sisters, when we're in that place, that we don't respond in kind, that we don't sin against those people who sin against us? How often are we not righteous? Or are we not lacking righteousness? How often doesn't it happen to us that instead of doing the right thing in that situation, that we do the sinful thing? The reality is, we don't have it in us to be different. But the Lord, He can do that for you. He can make it different for you. When our Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, then He faced these evil attacks. He had the scribes and the Pharisees who came after Him. During the 3 years of His public ministry, they attacked Him, and they attacked Him, and they attacked Him, and they attacked Him. And He stood up to that. And near the end of His life, then they arrested Him, and they had to find some basis for an accusation against Him. And they had nothing, because He hadn't done anything wrong. And so what did they do is they blasted Him with all these false accusations. They tried to find something that would stick. And what did He do? He's standing before Pilate, and they're just going at Him. They're going to Pilate. He's done this and He's done that. And he shouldn't be here, and you should put Him to death. You need to kill Him for this reason. He's done that. And what does Jesus do? He keeps His mouth shut. Like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. He didn't respond to all the lies and the accusations and the slander and the deceit. But He trusted God. He gave it over to His Father in heaven. And He said, Lord, You are God. And You know the truth. And You'll figure it out. And I trust You. Well, it's a good thing He did, brothers and sisters. Because He did it for you and for me. He did it to pay for all the times where we respond badly. When we're attacked, then our natural reaction is not just to defend ourselves. That's the first thing we do. We defend ourselves. We say, no, that's not true. That's not really what happened. That's not the way it really was. And then in defending ourselves, oftentimes we do the same thing that the other people are doing against us. We tell half-truths. We twist the truth. We show only the good things that we have done, and we never talk about any of the sinful things that we have done. We show only the evil things that other people have done who are attacking us, and we never talk about the good things that they've done either. And so we respond to others as they do to us. Well, we're sinners. And our Lord Jesus, He did what was righteous in order to pay for our sins, in order to cover the sin. He died on the cross for you in order to make payment for all the evil that you've committed. And He did it right in order to be a righteous sacrifice to God for you, in order to do it on your behalf, because you can't do it for yourself. Now, this is a psalm of David. Well, who's David? David's the great king of Israel. David's a man who loved God with all his heart. David's a man of whom the Lord said that he would never fail to have a son seated on the throne after him. David is a type of Christ. When David prays this prayer, then he does so through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through the inspiration of the Spirit of Christ. Christ lived in David. And Christ gave David these words. And Christ enabled David to respond in this way. And He did it because later on in history, Christ himself would take those words and he would live that out. And he would do it for the times when David failed and for the times when we failed. You know, there were times where David was attacked and where he responded in kind. He had that man Nabal. He took care of the man's property for a season. He looked after all his sheep out in the desert. And at the end of the season, he comes to the man. He asks him for some kind of compensation. And the man refuses to give him anything. And David gets so mad at him, he's going to take him out. He's going to kill him. Well, thankfully, the Lord saves him from that. The Lord protects him. The Lord did that a bunch of other times for David. He protected him from his own sin. He saved him from doing great evil. But then later, the Lord Jesus, he takes these words of David, and he works it out for us. The Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 2, he talks about that. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Peter says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Christ did it for you, brothers and sisters. He paid the price. He acted in righteousness so that God could attribute that to your account. God's also, he's promised to help you then, brothers and sisters. When you're in huge pain because of the sins that others have committed against you, and God says that he'll work it out for you. He'll help you with that. He'll equip and enable you to be different. Well, you wonder then, what about the people who are attacking you? Why is there so much emphasis on this song on the response of David who's being maligned? What about these evil people who caused the trouble in the first place? The psalm doesn't talk about that. And probably the reason for that is because David understands he's not responsible for their actions. The Lord will not hold him to account for how those people acted. The Lord will hold him to account for how he responded. And so the focus of the psalm is on him and how he responds to the evil that he endures. And God will deal with them. God will work it out for them. And so David doesn't have to worry about that. That's actually what it says in the last verses. In verse 10, he calls on God to exercise judgment against his enemies. He says, make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. Well, you say, I don't have to deal with those people. I don't have to correct them. I don't have to tell the truth. I don't have to go after them. He says, Lord, you take care of them. And then he prays the most amazing thing. He says, make them bear their guilt. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out. It's pretty, you read it over, it almost seems pretty mean. He wants his enemies to be destroyed. Is that something we can do? These people attack you. They do wicked things against you. They twist the truth to take you down. You trust in God. You give it over to the Lord. Say, Lord, you're going to work it out. But then can you add this little line on the prayer? And in the meantime, Lord, can you please bless them for what they've done to me? Do you ever do it? Now, it's not the only time we read about this in the book of Psalms. There's more than a dozen what we call imprecatory psalms. Psalms where David and others, they cry out for the Lord's imprecations, for his judgments to come down on his enemies. I'll just give you a few examples. Psalm 10, verse 15. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. Or Psalm 17, verse 13, arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword. Psalm 28, verse 4, give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. God, I'm praying to you, I'm asking you to please take them out for the sin that they've committed. Well, you read that over, then you need to be really careful to understand the context within which these words are said, brothers and sisters. These are not words of personal vengeance. You should be really careful to note what David says here. He says, make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out. For they have rebelled against you. They've rebelled against you. The important issue is not that they've attacked me, but the important issue is that they're attacking God. They're rebelling against God. What really concerns David is that they treat God lightly. They treat God with contempt. Well, the context here is that David's the king of Israel. You have these people who are attacking David. They're trying to take David down. He's like the leader of the church. He's the head of the nation, of the theocracy, of God's people. If they take David down, then they attack the rest of God's people. Ultimately, what's going on here is that you have these attacks against one of the leaders of God's people is really an attack against the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, it's in this context that it becomes very appropriate that you pray for the destruction of the enemies. If you have enemies who are trying to take down God's church, if you have enemies who are trying to take down the leader of God's church, then it is appropriate that you pray for their destruction. That's actually what we do in the second petition. We pray, your kingdom come. And then the Catechism explains it. It says, so rule us by your word and spirit that more and more we submit to you. And we pray, preserve and increase your church. Destroy the works of the devil, every power that raises itself against you, and every conspiracy against your holy word. We're praying for the destruction of the devil, for the destruction of the conspiracy of those who seek to attack and destroy Christ's church. What's what David's doing? It's not personal vengeance. He's praying for the protection of the people of God. In Psalm 64, he prayed for a similar thing. He also asked for the destruction of his enemies. But that time, the reason is so that the name of the Lord would receive much praise. Then all mankind fears. They tell of what God has brought about and ponder what he has done. Well, David's saying, will you please protect your people? Will you please bring down the wickedness of these evil people on their own heads so that everyone else will praise the Lord? That they'll ponder the great deeds that the Lord has done for his people. You know, at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, it's not intended, the Lord doesn't intend it to be a personal thing. That we take personal vengeance against our enemies. We know that clearly because he explicitly speaks against that later in his word. He says, do not take revenge. Romans 12. For it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And he says, in that context, he says, it is your responsibility to do good for the people who attack you. You have to help them. You have to bless them. You have to do good for them. Even when they slander. Even when they tell lies. Even when they twist the truth. What a hard thing, brothers and sisters. It's not something we do in our own strength. Something that the Spirit of God works in us. It's impossible for us to do it. But it is what Christ did. Because we attacked him. And we hated him. We rebelled against him. We sinned against him. And we lied about it. You know, we're the ones who do the attacking. Because when we sin, then the Lord comes to us and he says, "Now I want you to confess your sins. Literally, I want you to say the same thing about your sin that I say about your sin. That you've sinned, you've committed evil, and you've done this wrong." Many times we're not willing to do that. We don't have the humility to come clean and to say, "Yes, Lord, I have done it. And I am guilty. And I am sorry." If you haven't come clean, then 1 John 1 verse 10, then you call God a liar. You attack him. Well, the Lord is a God of grace, brothers and sisters. He is willing to forgive you. He sent Christ to do it for you because you can't do it yourself. And he wishes to restore you. And so he says, "Live out of the grace that I've extended to you. As I have shown mercy to you," he says, "then you show mercy to the people around you. When they attack you, when they hate you, when they lie about you, then don't take it in your own hands. Don't make them suffer. Don't punish them. But trust me to do it. I have the wisdom, and I am righteous. I am the Lord. I'm the King. I'm God Almighty. And I have the power to make it happen. And at the right time, in the right way, I will do it for you." He is your shield, brothers and sisters. He's your strong tower. He is your refuge. So go to him and rely upon him and receive his grace in your life. Amen. Let's now sing together. We're going to sing the rest of Psalm 5, verses 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Brothers and sisters, let's now call upon the Lord in thanksgiving and prayer. Some of the members of our congregation we're going to remember specifically in prayer. In the first place, we will rejoice with our brother and sister, Jono and Lisa Vermeulen, that they have a happy, healthy baby daughter. They've called her Lily Jane. Also thank the Lord that our sister Jane Seegers can return home, that also Christine Mahoney is able to return home as well. And we'll also ask God for a blessing for some of the members of our church. We think of our brother Rod Jongeling. This past week he went in for a hernia operation. He had a few complications with that, so he ended up back in ICU afterwards. So we'll ask that the Lord would grant healing to him and sustain him. We'll also remember our brother Michael Verbrugge. Our brother had a very sad thing in his family. His brother passed away. The really sad thing is that his brother is not a believer in Jesus Christ. He lives in the Netherlands, and he chose to end his own life. And so that happened just yesterday. And so it's deeply troubling for a brother. So we'll pray that God would also comfort him during this time. And then the last thing, we also have an announcement, a matter that we'll pray for as well. Some weeks ago, we made it known to you that Brother Dane DeVos had informed consistory that he wished to withdraw from the Free Reformed Church of Southern River. As there has been no change of heart, it's with sadness that we inform you that consistory has decided to acquiesce in his withdrawal, and that will become effective as of today. So we'll also bring Dane and his family before God's throne in grace. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we come to you, Lord, because we need your help. You are our God. You are our Father. You've entered into a relationship with us. And sometimes, Lord, we have some really difficult things that we have to deal with. Sometimes it happens to us that people attack us. There's some people who hate us. Sometimes it's a personal thing, your personal conflict with people. Sometimes, Lord, it happens more like what happened to David, that we represent you, that we are believers in Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we are offensive to others around us. And sometimes we face attack because of our faith in you. Lord, we see what's happening over east in Victoria, some of the laws that are being passed there around religious freedom. And Lord, that's just a small pinprick compared to some of the things that happen in other countries. We read of the believers in China who are severely persecuted for their faith in Jesus. Their property is being confiscated, and some people are being thrown in jail. Sometimes it's happened in the past that people have disappeared. Father, we also know in other countries, there's countries where people hate your people, where they're attacked, they're thrown into prison, they're killed, they're maligned. Father in heaven, we thank you that you promise us that you are our God, that you love us, and that you will take care of us. You remind us that you see all things, that nothing happens outside of your power or control, outside of your observation. And Lord, you promise us that you are a righteous God, and that you will work all things for the well-being of your people. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that your name is a strong tower, that we can run to you and we can find refuge. Thank you, Lord, that you comfort us, that you promise to carry us through the difficulties that we face. Father, please help us when we're being attacked by others. We ask that you give us strength to respond well to that. Grant, Lord, that our greatest motivation is not necessarily to defend ourselves, but not in the first place that we seek to attack other people and to make them pay for what they've done to us. But rather, Lord, please give us the wisdom to give the matter over to you, to depend upon you, and to trust you to work things out for us. Give us great faith in our Lord Jesus. And then, Lord, we also come to you this morning and we want to confess that there have been times where we've mistreated others. Sometimes we've made fun of the other boys or girls on the playground, some of our classmates. We malign them and we mock them. We treat them badly. Sometimes we've done that with our brothers and sisters. We get them in trouble and we lie about them. Then we laugh at them when they get in trouble. Sometimes we've done that to other people, that we want certain things. We're selfish in our actions. And at times we defend our selfishness with lies. We twist the truth in order to get what we want or to make others look bad. And sometimes it can even be quite serious, Father, that we say and do things that are blatant lies and that are explicitly designed to serve our own interests and to destroy others. Father, we humble ourselves before you because of our sin. We acknowledge that, and we pray for your forgiveness. We're sorry for the way that we've offended you and damaged the relationship. And we're sorry for the pain that we've caused you in doing so. It gives us no joy to grieve the Holy Spirit. And we're sorry for the ways in which you've caused Christ to suffer your wrath. Father, we look to Jesus as the one who will pay for our sins. And we pray that for Jesus' sake, that you would show us mercy. And we ask, Lord, that you would fill us with the Spirit of Christ, that we respond to others as you, as Christ responded to them, that he's able to remain silent in the face of attack, that he's able to entrust the matter over to your care, and to know that you are the Lord, and that you would work things out for him. Thank you for doing that, Lord. Thank you for honoring him by bringing him back to life and seating him on the throne and giving him all power and authority over all things. Dear Father in heaven, we ask that you would protect us here in our state, in our nation, that as Christians we may continue to serve you freely. We ask, Lord, that you would destroy the plans of those who seek to malign you and to undermine your church. We pray, Father, that we may continue in faith before you, that we may serve you faithfully, that we may give testimony to your grace and glory. Father, we also wish to ask you that you would please help us, that we may do this with a spirit of gentleness. And then we also pray, Father, that you would please help us in all the other circumstances of our lives. Pray, Lord, that you would bless us in our families, that you bless us in the work that we do. Please also take care of the members of our congregation who need you in special ways. Think of this time especially of our brother and sister Tim and Tanya DeVos. It's so sad to hear the news that their son Dane has decided to withdraw his membership from our church. We wish to entrust Dane to your throne of grace. We want to ask you, Lord, that you would please work a change of heart in him. Please help him to seek your face and to rely upon your grace. And we ask, Lord, that you would work powerfully in him so that he may also trust you and expect his help from you, and that he may be blessed by you in every way. We'd love to be restored in a relationship with him and to worship you together with him. And we pray, if you will, Father, that you make that possible once again. And we ask for comfort for his parents, that you would be near to them. Also for his siblings and for his grandparents, for the rest of his family, please encourage them and carry them through this time. And please grant that with your Holy Spirit, that you would grant them the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we pray that you would please help all of us as parents in raising our children, that we may have wisdom, that we may lead and guide them in your ways. But sometimes it still happens that our children, they don't express faith in you, and they're weak in their faith. Sometimes it happens that they have serious doubts. Sometimes they give sin a place in their lives. We ask, Lord, that you would please hold on to our children, that you would, for the sake of Jesus Christ, that you would work faith in their hearts, that you help them to understand what a great God you are, and what a gift it is to live in relationship with you. Please convert our children, Father, and please sanctify them, and please do it for Jesus' sake. And Father, we also wish to ask you that you would take care of our brother Verbrugge. We ask that you would please comfort him after the death of his brother. Such a terrible circumstance, such a difficult matter for a brother to come to terms with. Lord, we can't conceive of that. We believe that you are the author of life, and we know that you are the one who has authority over life. You call us into existence, and you are the one who has the authority to end our life. And so, Lord, we're deeply grieved to hear this news. We pray that you would please carry our brother through this, and that you would comfort him with your Holy Spirit. Please be near to our brother and sister Verbrugge and to their family. And please grant them your grace and your Holy Spirit during this time. Father, we also pray for Brother Rod Jungling. We're thankful that he could have an operation this past week, that he could have an operation, his hernia. Thank you for the work of the doctors. We pray for a blessing over that. We want to ask that you would grant him healing, that our brother can recover once again, and that it may go well with him. Thank you, Lord, for the great trust that he has in you, for his faith in you and reliance upon you. And we pray that you would please also uphold him and carry him. He's had a number of health concerns over the past years. We pray that you would be a father to him and carry him through this. Please also be with our sister Joyce Youngley, and please comfort her, and also with their son and daughter, with their family. Please be near to them and surround them with your love and nearness, and show them your grace and love, your grace and care. And then, Father, we also wish to thank you for the blessings that you've given. On one hand, there's sadness and there is a lot of difficulty, but on the other hand, you also grant your grace and blessing. We're grateful for the gift of new life that you've given to Lisa and Jono, and we pray, Lord, that you would please bless their daughter Lily, that she may know you and love you, that she can be a happy girl who receives much blessing in her life from you. Also, thank you that our sister Jane Seegers and also our sister Christine Mahoney can return home again. Thank you for the care that they receive from the doctors. Pray for a time of rest and healing for them. We ask, Father, that you would sustain them in their circumstances. Please also be near to their families, and please comfort them during this time. Father, be near to all of us who struggle in different ways, some with health concerns, some with spiritual concerns. Sometimes we have difficult emotional matters to deal with. Sometimes, Father, we also carry a lot of mental health issues that we bear in our hearts. We ask that you would help us through these things. Grant us also to be a community of the saints, that we carry one another. I also pray that you would be with our sister Minka Brower, her husband Darren, and their family, as they also grieve the loss of her grandfather. Thank you, Lord, that we can be reminded of the promises of the gospel. And we pray that you would comfort this family as well, that you surround them with your nearness, and that you grant them your blessing in every way. Father, you are our God, and we look to you because we have nowhere else to turn. Thank you for hearing us in Jesus' name. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you have the opportunity to show your thank offerings to the Lord. The collection this morning is for the work of the Ministry of Mercy, and we give to Pindari for the work of Pindari. After the collection, we're going to sing together of the work of our Savior, hymn 25, the verses 4, 5, and 7. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.